All right. Well, listen, we need to get into this message here. So I'm going to get going here. I need about all the time I can get here. So I want to talk to you about a serious subject here tonight, and I'm not going to finish it tonight. I'm going to start it tonight. There's going to be two or three more messages on this subject. I want you to turn your Bibles here to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 15. We are going to talk about tonight suicide. It's a very serious problem in this world. It's a very serious problem among churches even. We've seen it among teenagers, among older people. There's a problem with suicide, and I don't think, and most pastors will not talk about that subject. It doesn't really come up until there's a funeral or you're burying somebody because they committed suicide, and then you will talk about it. But other than that, it's too taboo. It's too frightening. It's too hard to talk about. Well, I want to tell you the truth about suicide from the scriptures and show you what the Bible says about it. And it's not going to be popular, I can guarantee you. Because why? Because it's not popular to tell people the truth. Because you've been fed such Disneyland fairy tales for so long in this country and this world that when you get straight truth, it just shocks you. When you get straight biblical truth, it's just so shocking that it's hard to digest for many people. But it ought to be a warning to people as well to take this very seriously. Now tonight we're going to talk about suicide, and we're going to talk about the biblical perspective of it. We're going to talk about suicide or self-murder. Will a Christian commit suicide? You notice I use the word will and not can, because I believe it's a will issue, not a can issue. Okay, there's a difference in those two. Because the doctrine of salvation has been wholly perverted into just an instantaneous thing, which it is. Salvation is instant. Nobody's denying that. But then it's like there's nothing else to it. That's just it. It was that. It's like a one-time confession to a priest almost is what people see it as. And then there's no life after that. But salvation is life. It's life from the dead. All right, 1 John chapter 3, verse number 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So what's that have to do with anything? A lot. Murder. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is suicide murder? Absolutely it is. It's called self. By the way, do you know, we're going to talk about that, but the definition of suicide is self-murder. Oh, let's not use that word. Let's use suicide. No, let's use self-murder, because that's what it is. That is the definition, is self-murder, in the 1828 dictionary, that is. Now, we can dumb it down a few hundred years and change it if we want to, 100 years forward. We can change it to something else now. But if you want to know the original intent of that word, it's self-murder. That's what it is. Makes sense, doesn't it? Because that's exactly what it is. But in America, we just change the words a little bit around, and we can call it whatever we want to make it sound better, kind of like the Patriot Act. Right? This may, boy, it sounds great, doesn't it? Man, that's for patriotism. No, that means you're selling yourself down the river. That's not patriotism. That's called slavery. At least Hitler was honest with the words he used. Well, a little bit anyway. But he kind of had his own little spin on things too, but they got it from him though. They learned it from watching Hitler. Anyway, let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now. Help us understand the truths of your word, Lord God, and the seriousness of suicide, Lord, self-murder. Dear God, that one would be snatched away from that hears this message, that one would be convinced to fall on their knees in repentance and faith and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that those that are nearest to hell would hear the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to read you just a few things here. And then we'll get right into the Bible here of all the study of this. And I've got to keep moving here. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, collects data about mortality in the U.S., including deaths by suicide. In 2013, the most recent year for which full data are available, 41,149 suicides were reported. making suicide the 10th leading cause of death for Americans. Mm-hmm. In that year, someone in the country died by suicide every 12.8 minutes. From 1986 to 2000, suicide rates in the U.S. dropped from 12.5 to 10.4. Suicide per 100,000 people in the population. Over the next 12 years, however, the rate generally increased, and by 2013 stood at 12.6 deaths per 100,000 people. In 2013, the highest suicide rate, 19.1, was among people 45 to 64 years old. The second highest rate, 18.6, occurred in those 85 years and older. Younger groups have had consistently lower suicide rates than middle-aged and older adults. In 2013, adolescents and young adults aged 15 to 24 had a suicide rate of 10.9. That's 10.9 too many, friend. For many years, the suicide rate has been about four times higher among men than among women. Four times higher. In 2013, men had a suicide rate of 20.2 per 100,000. And women had a rate of 5.5. Of those who died by suicide in 2013, 77.9 were male and 22.1 were female. Makes sense, though, because you don't find a woman in the Bible that committed suicide. That I'm aware of, anyway. The six that I have here, none of them were women that I remember, but we'll see. All right, anyway, so that gives you some understanding. Now, this is a very difficult topic to cover from the Scriptures. It's not easy. It's not fun to talk about. That's why most pastors won't preach on things like this. I want you to leave in a good mood. No, I want you to leave in a sober mood.
Man, right.
Church is about sobriety. Coming to the assembly is about being sober. It's about learning and being sober and serious. Amen. That's what that means. That word sober means is serious. A lot of people don't want to talk about things like this. Why? Well, they're negative. No, negative is watching them when you put them in the ground. That's negative. Positive is warning them before they get there.
Amen.
We have a nation full of cowards in the pulpits.
That's right.
They are a bunch of chickens. And you know what's sad? Why are people still supporting them? That's what I want to know.
Right.
Because they scratch their itchy ears, that's why. Anyway, all right, number one, six men in the Bible committed suicide. Six men. We're going to look at those six men here. By the way, that number six is interesting, isn't it? It's the number of man. The infamous 666. What else is that six the number of? What is the sixth commandment? Anybody know?
No.
Thou shalt not kill. It's the sixth commandment. If you're not a Catholic. I don't know. Change that one. Some of them change those, but they have one they change. I don't know if that's the same one or not, but I can't remember. They change. The second commandment they change. So is that still the six for them, or is it a different number? I don't know. Who knows, right? Anyway, but we have six men who committed suicide in the Bible. And the real question to ask tonight is this: will a Christian commit suicide? Well, what do I base what is my authority and my final authority for faith and practice? What is it? The Bible. So if I don't see a man that was a Christian that committed a suicide, can I assume that a Christian will self-murder themselves? Am I allowed to go off my assumptions, my feelings, and all those things? Or must I look at the Scriptures and take my authority from them and them alone? Right. I have to. If I'm going to be honest and not use the Word of God deceitfully to make people feel better. Listen, making people feel better has not helped us. In case you haven't looked around and figured it out, making people feel better isn't doing a whole lot of good. All right, so turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 9, please. We're going to look at the first one. Abimelech is the first one. Abimelech, the first man to commit suicide or self-murder. Judges chapter 9, verse number 5. And he went unto his father's house at Orpah, Orpah, or whatever that is, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And when he called hastily unto the young man, okay, go down to verse number 54 now. So what happened here? Here's a murdering man. Now listen, you got to have a devil in you to take all your brothers and to murder all your brothers, right? That's probably not what we would call a Christian man. I know that word Christian will mess up the dispensationalist, but just listen to me for a second here. Don't worry about it. I know what I'm talking about. Should we just use the word a justified man or a just man? Why don't we use that word? That way you won't get confused, because some people get upset about that. They get kind of upset if you use that term, because then they go back in their mind and they have to get their charts out and it gets them all confused. So I don't want anybody to have to do that. I want them just to look at the Bible and just follow what it says here. So let's just say a justified man, okay? All right, we'll put it that way. Then I won't make anybody mad. I probably already did, but oh well. You know I don't really care. Judges chapter 9, verse number 54. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his man thrust him through, and he died. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man into his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren. Say, wait a minute, what was that? Well, that's what you would call doctor-assisted suicide. Right? I mean, you would call that his armor bearer was what? His caretaker. He was the one that bared his armor. He's the one that protected him. He's the one that stood by him. He's the one that was there for him. So I guess we could liken that to doctor-assisted suicide. Why? He didn't put any fight up. He asked him, would you please kill me? Like Jack Kevorkian, when people went to him and said, could you please kill me? And that devil-possessed man said, sure, I'll kill you. I like murder. I have death in my heart. I'll surely kill you. So he did. Doesn't sound like this was a righteous man, though, does it? Sounds as if God returned his evil upon himself, didn't he? You know, I believe that these men they're reprobates. What they are. God just says, okay, you want to be evil? You want to kill 70 of your brethren? You're going to kill yourself. Why? Because they have death on their mind, that's why. So what did he do? He killed himself. He had somebody assist him in killing him. I like this quote from A.W. Pink. He says this, next, let us consider cases of murder. Suicide is self-murder and one of the most desperate crimes which can be committed. Inasmuch as this sin precludes repentance on the part of its perpetrator, it is beyond forgiveness. Such creatures are so abandoned by God as to have no concern for their eternal salvation, seeing they pass into the intermediate presence of their judge with their hands imbrued in their own blood. Such are self-murderers, for they destroy not only their bodies, but their souls too. Think about that. You say, why is it beyond forgiveness? Because they kiss their way, day of salvation away. They don't go to God and ask for repentance and faith. They don't go to God and beg to be forgiven of their sins and beg to be delivered from their present state. What do? They kill themselves. Next, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 31. Then we see Saul and Saul's armor bearer. Two men here. Now, we know how wicked of a man Saul was, right? We're gonna talk about him a little bit later, but I'm just gonna introduce him to you here at this part, and then we'll pick it back up with Saul in a few minutes here. Later on. Then said, 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 4. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. Now this is interesting, and I'm going to develop it in a few minutes here. So we're not going to stay on this, okay? But 1 Chronicles chapter 10 verse number 13 is a good tie-in with this. It explains a lot of what's going on here, and I'm going to explain to you what's going on with suicide and everything, and the religious people, okay? I don't call them saved, because saved people are not religious; they're born again, okay? They're saved. But listen what happened here in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 verse number 13. So Saul died for what? For his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord which he kept not. We're going to talk about that. And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of what? It. No, of Samuel? Uh-uh. What does it say? Of it. Who did he acquire? Who did he talk to? Oh, it was Samuel. No, it wasn't. It was a familiar spirit. Of it. Not of Samuel. Of it. There you go. That's the familiar spirit. That's who he inquired of. Some say Saul was saved because a familiar spirit through a witch said to Saul, you would be with me in paradise, or you would be with me tomorrow at this very time. You're right. He was going to be with you that very time. All right? He was. But who was talking? A familiar spirit. They call themselves Samuel. Unless you think God uses witches to get messages to you. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God uses witches to conjure up spirits from the underworld to get a hold of somebody? Of course not. He forbids you to even go to a witch and to talk to a witch. So you have to understand how familiars work and what they are, that person to you. Just like when somebody goes to a familiar spirit. Here we go, I'm not surprised. When somebody goes to a familiar spirit. Should have figured as much. What happens? They conjure up that, they call themselves that person. When somebody says, well, I want to know who my mom is. I want to talk to my mom. What do? They say, I want to talk to my mom. So they say, okay, we'll bring up my mom. Are they really bringing up your mom? No. It's a familiar spirit that followed them around. Watch their life. Anyway, go back and see the series on familiar spirits. I don't have time to develop that right now. All right. And when I hit the full... Okay, excuse me. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 17 now. Verse number 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Did you lose everything, Brother Aaron, or did it stay on?
I lost it, but I'm getting it back.
Okay.
Go ahead.
2 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Ahithophel, who was he? He was the one that turned his back on the Lord's anointed and sold him out to his son Absalom, a type of the Antichrist. Sold him out to him. Hardly a man that followed the Lord as God, but forsook him and King David in his heart long ago. What ended up happening to him? Well, he went to his house and he hung himself. Committed suicide. Self-murder. He murdered himself. All right, next we find another man. Zimri, number 5. Zimri, 1 Kings chapter 16. First Kings chapter 16. All right. And the people that were encamped, verse number 16. The people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri, the captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. And Omri went up from Gibeathon and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. For his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. Does this look like a God-fearing man? No. What did he do? He was likened to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that made Israel to sin. Well, how did he make him to sin? They served false gods, and he was a murderer. So they took care of him. He took care of himself. He went up there, burned his house down, and died. What kind of a deranged mind does that? I believe it's demonic. That's why. We're not going to talk about the causes today. We're going to talk about the causes and symptoms of suicide on Sunday. Okay? What causes that? What comes into play with all these things? And you're going to see what does. We'll touch a little bit on it tonight, but not a whole lot. Not a whole lot tonight about that. Doesn't look very good so far, though, okay? Then the last one really won't make you feel any better. Doesn't look very good either when you look at this, okay? And believe me, when I tackle this topic, I'm not being insensitive, but I am being very clear because the Word of God is very clear about this. There's not a lot to guess. It's very clear. Matthew chapter 27, let's come to Judas Iscariot. He is the sixth man here, that number six. It's kind of weird, isn't it? But he is. What did he do here? Judas. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and went and hanged himself. Yeah, he hanged himself. Why? Well, we're going to look at the evidence in the scriptures as to why this man did this and why these men do this and what was behind some of this. But, you know, we can't take any outside variables of this. We must show these are the six men in the scriptures that committed suicide. It makes sense, doesn't it, that it shows these six men because of the percentage that we find today was like 79% of people that commit suicide are men, right? Okay? So, the question comes, and well, preacher, then, has anybody ever had those symptoms that they wanted to die? Sure. Sure, there's been a lot of people. In fact, I'm going to show you those people right now. Turn to Jonah chapter 4. There have been men. So, number two here, Jonah chapter 4, there are many people who wanted to die in the Bible. That's without question. There are many people in the Word of God that they wanted to die. That's recorded in the Scriptures. They didn't want to live any longer. Jonah chapter 4. Find in Jonah chapter 4. What did Jonah cry out? He said, verse number 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. What's the difference, though? What's the difference in what Judas did, who went out and hung himself, and what Jonah did right here? Big difference. One became a god and killed himself and made himself like God and slew his own self and fell on a sword or killed himself. The other cried out to God, oh God, take my life from me. What did that do? He was recognizing the sovereignty and the authority of God in life and death. That doesn't mean you're not going to have struggles. That doesn't mean you're not going to have depression, which we will talk about on Sunday. It doesn't mean you're not going to have those things. It doesn't mean that nobody ever got depressed in the Scriptures. It doesn't mean that nobody ever felt like they wanted to die. But the difference is, they didn't say, I'm going to kill myself. Did he? What did he say? He said, therefore now, O Lord, they went to God. They went to the Lord and they cried out to him. And they said, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Is that the only man? No. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll find another man. By the way, these are prophets of God.
Right.
These are men that serve God. These are men, that's why I don't find it. Spurgeon was a man that was very depressed. A lot of people don't know that about Charles Spurgeon. I have his autobiographies. A lot of people don't realize Charles Spurgeon was a very depressed man. He had gout and some other things that helped cause his depression. And they didn't know about good diets and things back then and things that could have helped him probably through that, a lot of it. You know, they didn't have a lot of that knowledge of some of those things, or they didn't. They just didn't do it back then. But anyway, he had gout. He had some problems. He had depression. He would get depressed. And it's a very dark time in somebody's life when they get depressed. But these men of God had the same thing. They had a very dark time come in their life where it was dark and they felt as if they were going to die. And they just cried out to God because they wanted to die because things were so hard. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 7. That does not mean that men don't feel that way sometimes. But see, you want to know the difference in the man that commits self-murder and this man? The man that commits self-murder is looking at himself. The man that cries out to God to take his life is looking to God. That's the difference. One is looking to God. The other is looking to self. And if you keep your eyes on self, I'll promise you one thing. You'll want to die.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
First Kings chapter 19, verse number 7. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." Look at the loving hand of God. What happened to him? Well, he had a Jezebel after him. And I'm going to tell you what, that'll make somebody want to die. All right? That'll make somebody want to die. You get a Jezebel after you. You'll be wanting to run too. It's okay to smile. Your wife won't smack you. Come on. Anyway, you know, here's the thing. He had just had one of the greatest victories of his life, but he was scared of a woman, and he ran from her. Because he knew she had some power. She was a pretty high-level witch herself, you know. He was a little afraid of her, wasn't he? Pretty dark time for him, so he took off. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Do you understand that? This man, he went 40 days and 40 nights. That angels fed him, right? Angels fed him there. He ate some angel food, right? And then he took off. That's not Jimmy John's Lee. That's angel food, okay? I don't think it's Jimmy John's. I'm pretty sure it's not. I'm almost pretty positive it wouldn't be anything near that. Or McDonald's, Paul. Nothing like that. It was from heaven, so it wouldn't have been any of those things. Anyway. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Elijah. And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." He wanted to die. He didn't want to live. You know? He wanted God to take him. You know? He didn't want to stick around there. It's hard for him. Right? People go through struggles, and life is hard sometimes. Life is not easy all the time. Sometimes you're going to go through some dark things in your life. You're going to go through some things, and you don't see the light. You don't see anything at the end. And the problem is that you're looking upon yourself. You're looking upon yourself. And if you keep looking at yourself, you're going to get discouraged, and you're going to get depressed. And you're not going to think that life is even possible or able to cope with. And that's what happens to people. That's what happens to a lot of people. They don't think that they can cope with life anymore. Because hard times come and challenges come and we face things in this life. And they are not easy to face sometimes. But what was Elijah doing though? What was he doing? Wasn't he concentrating on himself? Wasn't he looking at himself instead? What was he looking at? Was his eyes on Jesus or on the Father in heaven? Was his eyes on the one that could deliver him from his problems? No. His eyes were on... Nate, read verse number 4 there. Is that what it is?
Yeah, verse 4.
Thank you. Read that, please.
"But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die."
There we go. Thank you.
"It is enough now, Lord."
Thank you. That's what I was looking for in my notes here, and they weren't in there, so it wasn't in there. But this is the scenario. This is what took place, okay? He wanted to die. He said, "Sit up, I want to die. Just take my life, Lord. That's my request. Let me go." Did he kill himself? Did he take out a sword and kill himself? Did he go try to jump off the mountain? Did he try to do any of those things? No. What did he do? He called out to God and he said, "Lord, I just take my life. Let me go." Now turn to Job chapter 3. Boy, if anybody would want to die, right? Huh? If anybody would want to die. He didn't get his best life now sermon, did he? Little smiley face. The Joker himself. He looks like the twin to, what's her name?
Joyce Meyer.
Joyce and Joel, twin Jokers. Jezebel and Ahab, right there. I think Joyce has got him beat for manhood, though. I'm going to tell you that right now. I think she could take him, seriously. Job chapter 3, verse number 1. After this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Well, that doesn't sound very good. Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above. Neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it, and let blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light and have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrows from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breasts that I should suck? What is this? This is a man that is completely depressed, and he's grieved by everything that happened around him. But was his petition to kill himself? Hey, he was almost dead as it was. He had boils all over his body. He had all of his children died. He had lost everything that he had. But did he turn to himself and say, well, I think it's time to check out of here. I think it's time to kill myself. No, because he was a justified man. He was a saved man. And his hope was in a tree. And that's what he said.
Right.
He said, my hope is in a tree. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he will stand on the on this land in the end days. That's what he said. Not word for word, but that was the idea. He said, I know he liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. And he'll stand on the earth in the latter day. That's what he said, and that's why he didn't take his life. But he did ask God to take his life. He did ask God to take his life. God, get me out of here. Just take me. Why died I not in my mother's womb? That's a man that is grieved. And that's part of it. But you see, these men are never, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. Do you understand that? No matter how dark it gets for the child of God, he does not sorrow as one that has no hope.
Right.
So we see men in the Bible that wanted to die, but we find one interesting thing about them. They never took their own life.
Right.
And they had more reason to do it than those men that took theirs.
Yep.
But they never took theirs. Why? Because they had the Spirit of the living God in them. They were a child of the King. They were a believer, and they were justified by faith. If you don't understand that, go back and look in Hebrews. It'll tell you by faith everything that they did. Because you got to understand, Job was a man with a lot of faith. Because if he wasn't, he wouldn't have made it. So why do people take their life? Because they don't have the faith. They don't have that faith of Christ. They don't have that Spirit. They don't have the power of God. Those men knew they wanted to die, but they wanted the Lord to take their lives because they understood who holds the power of life and death in their hand. They knew they weren't God. They knew they had no right to murder themselves because the Bible says very clearly, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah. That's right.
And they knew it, and they obeyed it, and they followed on, and they wanted to die, but they wouldn't do it at their own hand. What stopped them? The Lord. Every man that fell into depression or demonic oppression or persecution or affliction that we have listed, they wanted to die. But they didn't take their life. Howbeit, the Lord blessed their lives. and they lived on. But every wicked, hell-bound sinner that we find in the Scriptures that did take their life rejected the sovereignty of God. They absolutely rejected the sovereignty of God. That's what they did. Do you know that's what you have to do to commit suicide? You have to reject the sovereignty of God. And you have to take your own life, and you have to become God, and you have to say, I hold the power of life and death in my hand, and I will take my own life. And they don't have that hope of Christ. Because if they had it, they wouldn't do it. I don't believe God will allow them to. And I'm going to show you why. But the Bible says self-murder. That's a murder. And the Bible clearly says that no murder hath eternal life dwelling in them. In self-murder, there is no hope. Look at Judas. Look at Judas. He had betrayed the innocent blood. And what did he have? No hope. None. The Bible says that the Lord had rejected Saul because he had rejected the word of the Lord. What does that mean, rejected? It means he was reprobate silver, right? He was rejected of God. I believe Saul kissed his day away of salvation. I really do. And I believe the Lord had departed from him. I also believe it says in the Bible, too, it's important to note that Saul, he was anointed with a vial and not the blessing of a horn either. If you look at a vial is meant for judgment. A horn is meant for blessing.
Right.
And Saul was anointed with a vial. Saul was the judgment of God upon Israel for wanting a king. Look at the Bible says, the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me that I should reign over them. What happened? You rejected him, he rejected you. So he gave you a king that would eventually reject the word of the Lord. He gave you what your heart wanted. You wanted one of those worldly kings over you because that's what you said. You said, Ray, give us a king. Nay, but give us a king that shall reign over us. We want to be like all the other countries, have a kings that rule over them and go out and fight their battles for them. We don't want God to fight our battles. Saul was the judgment upon Israel for rejecting the Lord. He had allowed them to choose that king. David was a blessing because he was a man after God's own heart. Anyway, we see Saul committing suicide. Then we take Judas and we see Judas was a religious man. Wasn't he? Judas held the money bag, didn't he? Judas cast out devils. In Matthew chapter 7, if you understand that, this confuses a lot of people. But he is talking about in the future, and he's also talking about Judas Iscariot. Because he says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Judas did that. And in thy name have cast out devils? Judas did that. And in thy name done many wonderful works? Judas did those. He did miracles. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What does John 13:27 say about Judas, the man that committed suicide? It says in John 13:27 says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Well, see, now that's interesting, isn't it? Because we find the devil directly involved with suicide. Directly. You know what the devil does to people after he gets done indwelling them and using them? He kills them!
That's right.
Don't believe me? Dare you to go online, go to wayoflife.org and look up rock musicians that were millionaires. Hey, how about Michael Jackson, the most famous musician in the world probably? What happened to him? Dead. Done. Drugged himself to death. Doctor-assisted suicide. Oh, they didn't call it that. But that's what it was. How many other men committed suicide? How many other rock stars? How many other people? We'll talk about that on Sunday a little bit. But how many of these other people did that committed suicide? Why? Because they had deals with the devil. That's why. And when the deals with the devil is over, it's pay-up time.
Right.
And when it's pay-up time, you pay with your soul in hell for all of eternity.
Yep.
And you lose your life. And you will take your own life. When Satan is done with you, you'll want to die. So we have a man that killed himself, and we have Satan entering him. Then we have another man that consulted with devils and a familiar spirit, Saul. Hey, wait, Saul killed himself, didn't he? But what did he do before he killed himself? He visited a witch and called up a familiar spirit.
That's right.
So do you think the occult and calling up spirits and witches and all those things might have something to do, that dark side might have something to do with suicide? It might be from the devil. It might be actually a leading of the demonic world, of the devilish world, of the devil himself and his kingdom? Of course. Who do you think is speaking in your ear all the time? Who do you think is trying to get you to get into a mode of depression and a point where you're depressed? You think it's all of you? Right? You don't think there's a kingdom out there that's actually working. I sure wish God's people would believe his book.
Right.
I wish you feared that. I wish you feared God. I wish you understood and believed his word when he talks about this wicked world that's out there and that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When you look at somebody that commits suicide or wants to, they're not wrestling with flesh and blood. They're wrestling with devils.
Right.
And they don't have any power to fight them. Why? Because they don't have their armor on.
Man.
They're not saved, and they can't fight them off. And pretty soon they're given over to their own delusion, and they take their life and they kill themselves. But hey, let's not look at the scriptures. Let's not do that. That would be too simple, right? We would actually have to believe that the devil hates us. And then we wouldn't be able to flirt with his kingdom anymore. We wouldn't be able to watch his wicked movies. We wouldn't be able to go to the wicked places and do the wicked things, would we? We wouldn't be able to play with the world if we actually believe this Bible.
Amen.
So we see Saul plays around with the familiar spirit, talks to it. By the way, I'm just curious. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Saul jumping on that sword and killing himself had anything to do with that familiar spirit telling him that he would be with Samuel in paradise? Or with Samuel, he didn't say paradise, but with Samuel? You think that might have had something to do with his decision to jump on his sword and kill himself? Because, hey, I'm getting out of this place. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to paradise. I'm going to be with Samuel. Wake up! That's what he did. And what did he do? He followed it. You mean like when people say they can tell the future and they do different things? Yeah, because see, devils, when you start consulting devils and familiar spirits, here's what you're doing, okay? And horoscopes, everything else, they help arrange things to happen that way. Do you believe that?
Right.
They help arrange things to happen that way. I know. You thought they were all sleeping in hell, right? They're all just sleeping right now. I had one guy tell me that. Well, Satan, he's bound. He's bound in hell. He is now. That's not what Paul said. That's not what the Lord Jesus said. That isn't what the Bible says. Oh, he's not working. That's silly. Come on. It's all human. It's all us. It's not. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's not them, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Read the Bible more. That's right. We see these examples of men that committed self-murder, and they're tied together with devils. By the way, what does God say? All they that hate me, what?
Love death.
Love death. Folks, I didn't write it. I just have to preach it. And I have to be true to the text. I can't just ignore it and make it so somebody feels better. I realize there's people out there in Christian homes that committed suicide, and they say, well, they were saved, though. They're in heaven now. I'm sorry, I don't believe that, because I don't believe you have a biblical basis for saying that. I think your feelings might tell you that, and their 1, 2, 3, pray after me might tell you that, but not the scriptures and not an example of that in the Bible. You don't find an example of somebody that was born again doing that, or a righteous man doing that. You don't find that in the scriptures anywhere. Where do you find that in? Well, we're so used to Disney theology. We want it always to have a happy ending. Right? But it's more like the real ending of Disney. You know what the real ending of Disney is? Miley Cyrus, Britney Spears, a life of hell, death, and destruction. That's the real end of the story, Disney. Am I stepping on anybody's idols tonight? I hope not. I hope you've already crushed all those.
Amen.
All of the children of God, though, they cried out to the Lord, didn't they? Zimri, he was a cold-blooded murderer. He killed all his brothers. Come on. Listen, the child of God never hits the depths of despair that low that they would ignore the judge of all the earth and place theirself on the throne of God and do what they wilt as the whole of the law. And we're going to talk about that, the demonic aspect of it, more on Sunday, because there is more. There's drugs, there's the demonic act, there's depression, there's a lot of things that go into it. I do believe people can be mentally ill and do terrible things, but I cannot give you an example in the Word of God how a saved man committed suicide. I can't find an example of that. By the way, some people will use Samson. Turn to Judges chapter 16. Some of them will use Samson in Judges chapter 16. They'll say, well, didn't Samson commit suicide? No. No, he didn't. No, Samson did not commit suicide. Has it been said by some that he did? Yeah. But you got to read the Bible. Judges chapter 16. I believe it's verse number 27. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. What does that mean? They're mocking him while he's in there. They're making fun of him because they burned out his eyes, the Philistines did. They burned out his eyes, and here's this strong man that picked up the doors of the gate. Do you know how big those doors are? And carried him up a hill and just like, psh. I mean, have you ever been to like a fort where you've seen their gates, like how big a fort is? And their gates are just absolutely humongous and like no man can pick that up like that, right? I mean, that's what he did. He picked it up and he just, because he had the power of God. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. That's another sermon, by the way. Not for today. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, wait a minute, what do we have here? Do we have a man saying, well, give me a knife, I'm going to stab myself. I'm going to take these drugs. I'm going to do this. I'm going to end my life. No, no, what do we have? We have a man, what is he doing? He's crying out to the Lord, just like Elijah did, just like Jonah did, just like Job did. Okay? They cried out to the Lord. Samson did the same thing. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And what did God do? Let him die with the Philistines. Why? Because God wanted to take his life. That's why. Because Samson was done. He had no testimony. What was he going to do? Go back to Israel? What was he going to say? Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. See, Samson called on the name of the Lord, didn't he? The power of the Lord. And he said, Lord, give me this strength this one time. What did God do? God allowed his life to be taken. Now, why is that? I believe it was chastening. Right? He wasn't going to be much of a testimony going back in there to Israel. That is already done. And it was time for him to go. God was finished with him. And when God's done with you, he'll take you home. Amen. And by the way, nobody else will do it.
Right.
They might try, and they could try their hardest, but if God wants you here, you'll be here as long as he wants you here.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Don't you forget that either. And God granted his desire, and he let him die a warrior's death. Again, but he appealed unto the Lord. He didn't take his own life. So how do you know that, preacher? Well, he didn't have the strength to do it. He couldn't do that, remember? All his hair was gone. He couldn't do that. He didn't have the power to do that, did he? Who gave him the power? God. Why? It's time for him to go home, that's why. By the way, that's God that chose that. That's not man that chose that. That's God Almighty that said, okay, you're going home. I'm taking you home. God gave him that supernatural power to defeat his enemies. But we don't see a saved righteous man taking his own life. We see the self-murder was left to the religious or demonic and depraved people. Now listen. When somebody gets to that point, that little level of depravity and selfishness from a saved person, they have no fear of God, or that level of selfishness, and they get to that, they're not a saved person. When they get to that level of that, to where they can't even anymore, they have no fear of God to take their own life. They have absolutely no fear. Do you understand that? Do you understand what that has to take for someone not to have fear of God and be a child of God and not have a holy reverence for God, and they say, I'm going to take my own life? What is that? When they do that, they don't have a fear of God. They're not scared to meet the judge. Why? Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's why. They're so concentrated on themselves. Everything's about them. And nobody cares. How about a man that wanted to take his life? And the keeper of the prison, walking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Guy was going to kill himself. He says, man, I'm dead. Might as well take my own life. He's going to kill himself. It's a good thing he didn't. Why? Because he got saved.
Indeed, right.
You see that? He got God's grace moved in there, and he got saved.
Indeed.
And all his house. What does the Bible say? For none of us liveth to himself, in Romans chapter 14, verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Do you understand that? You don't live to yourself. And you don't die to yourself. So why is it? What is this suicide? It's an unnatural affection. It's an unnatural desire. It's a desire that does not, I'm telling you, it does not come strictly from the flesh. To want to kill yourself does not come from the flesh alone. Why? Because it is in man to have the self-preservation, to keep his life no matter what. Even Satan said that, skin for skin. A man will do whatever he has to do to save his own life.
Right.
The devil knows it, doesn't he? So what does he do? His little kingdom and his wicked devils come in and tempt you in a supernatural way. That is against nature. It's like the sin of homosexuality. It's absolutely against nature. It is a demonic thing that is laid upon somebody.
Amen.
And this is suicide's the same way. It is a demonic attack. When you see people that want to die, they are under demonic oppression or possession. When you see them willing to take their life, they are under demonic either oppression or possession. One of the two. I don't know which. I can't tell that from until I see somebody like that. But they are under one of the two things. Because it's not natural for a man to take his own life. It is natural for him to preserve his life and do whatever he can to keep it. Because number one, it's against the nature's law of self-preservation. Number two, only God has the right to give and take away life. Only God has that right. By the way, it's a failure to take God into account as well. Self-determined taking of one's own life fails or refuses to recognize the possibility of God's actions. Doesn't believe that God can do anything for them. Doesn't have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ in them. Now, I know it can get dark and depressed because these men wanted to die, but they cried out to God. They didn't turn to the world. They didn't turn to themselves. They turned to God. That's the difference. They don't believe that God can supernaturally or in a miraculous process work. Why? Because they're not saved, that's why. They don't have the Spirit of God inside of them. You're never going to convince me that a child of God murders himself, because I don't see it in the Bible anywhere. I see it as what? It is absolute demonic attack.
Yep.
Brought on by many things, which we'll talk about on Sunday. There's many, many things.
Yep.
Suicide preempts the opportunity for God to work in their situation. They don't want God to work. In other words, they don't want Him to work in their situation. They want to end it all themselves. They want to control their own destiny and do it themselves. Self-concern of suicide fails to recognize that there can be divine purposes in suffering. The Bible says that it's appointed us to suffer for Christ's sake.
Right.
Sometimes there's suffering that God wants you to go through. And for a child of God to take his own life means that he doesn't believe that God hasn't appointed, that God is sovereign. He's appointed suffering for some, for a purpose. Probably because they're fed a prosperity gospel that tells them, hey, God doesn't want you to suffer. God doesn't want you sick. Everybody's going to, God wants everybody to be healed. Now, it is true that we can cause our own damage. All right? And God doesn't want us to poison ourselves. God doesn't want us to do that. All right? He doesn't want us to do things that will cause us to have cancer and things like that. But the point is that sometimes it's time to die, and sometimes God wants you to die. But that's His choosing, not yours. Sometimes He wants you to suffer. There have been men, Paul suffered. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he suffered. He suffered greatly, but he suffered through it, didn't he? Suicide is a failure to take others into account. It's an absolute selfishness. Not caring about anybody else. People say, well, I don't want anybody saying, I'm tired of hearing people say that suicide is selfishness. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm not a psychologist. And number one, I don't care what you like, because I'm not a psychologist, and you're not paying me, okay? And number two, you can't find it in the Scriptures where it's not. When you're looking at yourself all the time, you're not Christ-centered, you're self-centered. And you don't, well, I care about my loved ones in my life, it's so hard, I think I'll just take my life. No, you don't care about your loved ones, you care about yourself.
Yep.
Everything about that was you, you, you. It wasn't everybody else. You weren't caring about what your wife or your husband or your children would think after they're watching you buried in the ground. No, you didn't think about that. You thought about yourself. You just thought about yourself. Just like the rich man in hell, he never stopped thinking about himself. Oh, he said, send him back, you know, for my brethren. That's so he wouldn't have that heaped on his head because they were there. It wasn't because he really wanted to be saved. It's because he didn't want them complaining to him for all of eternity. That they didn't get a warning. The sinfulness of self-concern is contrary to the love of God. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But the person that is so selfish, thinking about themselves all the time, their life is centered around them, and that's all that matters is how they feel, then guess what happens? You don't care about anybody else, and you're going to do what you want to do. And that is, by the way, that is the law of Satan. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That is the law of Satan, to be worried about myself and not care about anybody else. I don't care what you say. You can't tell me it's not selfish for a father to kill himself, or a mother to kill himself, or even a 16-year-old, 17-year-old boy, or a daughter or something, to go off and to kill themselves. You can't tell me that's not selfish. They don't care about anybody else. They want to end their pain. And they never end their pain, because they'll be in pain for all of eternity in the lake of fire. And now a lot of people say, well, no, I think people are saved like that. Well, show me one in the Bible and I'll believe you. Show me one scriptural example in the Bible. I'm sorry, I know this cuts hard. And if you say, this is really harsh, it might be really harsh, but it's really true. And that's what matters. And I'm going to warn somebody that's on the edge that thinks they're going to do a nosedive in the cement somewhere, or they're going to jump off a cliff somewhere, or they're going to hang themselves somewhere, that you understand this thing. You will open your eyes up in the lake of fire for all of eternity. You better run to Christ, get on your knees, and beg Him for mercy.
Amen. That's right.
And go talk to somebody. Somebody that has a Bible that believes it.
Amen.
Suicide always harms and damages others. It's contrary to love. You know, they leave everybody holding the bag. You kill yourself, you leave everybody else holding the bag. They got to clean up the mess. You know, somebody finds that body that's mutilated, probably your child somewhere. Your child, the mother, the father, the friend, gets to find that body hanging there and gets to know that that's how they died. By the way, you leave people oftentimes questioning or blaming themselves. You kill yourself, and there's going to be people that will always blame themselves for what you did. They'll go to their grave blaming themselves for you dying. Because they will always think that they did it because they can never have a conversation with you again, so you can tell them, no, it's not your fault. You can write a letter and you can do all that, but it won't matter to them because they won't be able to look you in your eye for you to tell them that. And all the living have to deal with the consequences. Because there's consequences for actions. Suicidal persons fail to recognize any of their responsibilities. They're concentrating on their own. They're concentrating on their self. Not anybody else. By the way, I was looking at something. I didn't put that statistic down here and I'm done. But there's a statistic that says that I believe it's annually, every year in America, suicide costs $41 billion. Now, the money's not the most important thing, it's the point. It's that $41 billion, how does that have an effect on everybody else? Think about that. The hole that leaves in their life, and all you're thinking about, well, they'd be better off without me. No, you'd be better off getting yourself right with God so you can be good to them. See, it's such a cowardly way out to say, I'm going to just die. It's a selfish, cowardly way out to take your own life. It is absolutely, and people, I don't want to hear that that's selfish because people really go through a lot of stuff. Yeah, they do, and it's demonic, and that's why they need to get help with it because that's what it is. We're going to talk about that on Sunday. We're going to talk about the fact that it's demonic, that it's from drugs, it's from depression, and a whole host of other things that cause that lead people into that suicide. A lot of things people don't understand. It's all written in the Word of God, though. The Bible shows us all those things, that's exactly where these things come from, because it is not natural to take your own life. It is against nature to kill yourself or not to preserve yourself. So where does it come from, folks? It comes from Satan. And he maximizes on your flesh. And we'll talk about that on Sunday. But I hope you understand that there is no verses in the Bible. There's no scripture. There's no examples of a righteous man killing himself. Taking his own life. Not one. And let it be a warning to some out there who listen to this, who may think that that's the way out. No, that's the way to hell.
Right.
That's the way to hell. Because I believe that if you were successful in that, you are not his child. Why? Because the Bible says there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common for man. Right? And God gives us what? A way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Right? God always gives us a way out of any temptation that comes our way. That we are able to bear it. So if you're telling me God doesn't give you a way out, I'm telling you you're not his child then. That's why. And if you take your life, you're going to open your eyes up in hell. Now the best thing that you can do is, number one, go talk to somebody that has a Bible. Read the Bible first. Talk to somebody who has one that can show you the scriptures, that you can be saved, that you can be forgiven of your sins. Because your sin is your problem and the devil hates you and he's wearing on your soul because he wants you to go to hell and he wants to whisper in your ear. So he can whisper into your ear, just go to hell, just give up life. It'll be easier. You'll go to heaven if you do this. You'll just go to heaven and you'll be fine. You'll be out of pain. You won't have any pain anymore. You won't have any problems anymore. No, that's Satan talking. That's his kingdom. That's the way that he works. Always to give someone an easy way out, right? To take an easy way out. There are no shortcuts, though. There are none. None. If you die without Christ and you take your own life, you will end up in the lake of fire because there are no shortcuts. There are no other way around it. You go through the blood or you don't go at all. But if you want forgiveness of sins, that's what your problem is. That's why you're depressed many times, because you're not forgiven of your sins. And Christians can get depressed, and we'll talk about that too. But you know what? Christians have hope because they have Christ. And they are never left hopeless. No matter how their bouts of depression go, and there's some that have them, they have bouts of depression. But you know what? No matter how long and how many times that happens, God always brings them through it.
Man.
Always. Could it be that you're looking at yourself and not Him? It always stays darker when you look at yourself. But when you look up to the light, it'll shine through and God will give your soul peace. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your words. Thank You for the truth of them. Lord, I pray it be a warning to those. And Lord, as we preach on in this subject, Lord willing, on Sunday, Lord, that we could help others with it. That we could help others that are trapped into some of those things and realize the symptoms, the causes and the symptoms of self-murder, what it leads to, and the solution, which is Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.